Let's turn tonight to Psalm 141, Psalm 141, and verses 1-4. Psalm 141, verses 1-4. It's entitled "A Psalm of David," and this is the word of God. O Lord, I call to you, come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. Amen. And we thank God for this reading. So tonight I'm going to do a short message just in these opening words, just to set the scene for our extended time of prayer tonight, and just to, I hope, encourage us to pray and just to seek God in this time of prayer. You'll see there in verse 2, it says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. We don't use incense in Reformed worship. The Roman Catholics and the Orthodox churches use incense. But incense was used as well in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and then in the Jerusalem temple. And particularly, the use of incense was associated with what was called the altar of incense. The altar of incense was the piece of furniture that was closest to the Ark of the Covenant, in which the Ten Commandments were kept. The altar of incense was made of wood, but it was overlaid with gold. And it was regarded as, even though it wasn't kept in the Holy of Holies, it was regarded as belonging to the Holy of Holies, right there in the very presence of God. The Jews burned on it, as God had prescribed, fragrant incense. And when the incense was burned, it's a bit like one of those candles that people light at this time of year that fill the house, the lovely smells of cinnamon and so on coming up to Christmas. And I've seen my first Christmas trees in Ballymoney and people's houses, and the first person to wish me Happy Christmas did so this morning. I thought, now that's early. And I know the lights are being turned on Thursday, tomorrow night. But the burning of incense, is that sense of burning a perfume that wafts through the house, is very much what's in mind here. This burning of incense was wafting through the house of God. In the Old Testament, worship was a multi-sensory experience. The eyes watched the priestly rituals as the priests went about their rituals. The ears heard the reading, the preaching of God's word, and the bells that the priests wore in their clothing. The bread on the table, the priests ate the bread, and that was a reminder of the sense of taste. And noses smelled the incense. The lesson was, I think, with so much involved, that all of your being is to be taken up with the wonder and the worship of God. As Paul says in Romans 12, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And he also talks about the renewing of your mind. He doesn't say give God a part of your day. He doesn't say give God a part of your life. Give God a part of what you are. He says give God your body. Give God your mind. Give your all to the Lord. Let this be your spiritual act of worship. So this is a reminder to us here, just as we look at this prayer, just of the reminder of giving our all, taste and hearing and smell and so on. Every sense is to savor God and to enjoy God and to taste and see that the Lord is good, as the psalmist says. The point of the incense, however, was to form a gentle cloud in the temple, a bit like the cloud that went before the Israelites by day, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The cloud was a gentle cloud in the temple, and as the smoke gently billowed up, it came to symbolize the prayers of God's people ascending up to heaven. That's why the psalmist says here in verse 2, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." King David, here as he writes this psalm, perceives that prayer is like perfume arising up to the throne of God. And if you turn across to Revelation chapter 5, the same thing is found in the last book of the Bible. Revelation 5 and verse 8. "And when he had taken it," that is when he had taken the scroll, "the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." The golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And then chapter 8 of Revelation, verse 3 and 4. "Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand." So just as incense being burned and rising up was an offering unto God, it symbolized the prayers of God's people rising up. And it's amazing to think of God enjoying our prayers. It's a perfume. It's not a bad smell. It's a good smell. There was a particular recipe for the perfume given, I think, in the book of Exodus or Leviticus. And it was a good smell. And the smell, the perfume, was a sign that God enjoys the prayers of his people. He enjoys your prayers. He enjoys you praying. He enjoys me praying. But then in these days in which we are living, the Church of Christ has now come, and the old priesthood has been replaced, and it's been replaced by the elect of God on earth. And the Apostle Peter says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." The royal priesthood is no longer a select group of clergy. The royal priesthood is now every elect of God, every man or woman who knows God as their Lord and as their Savior, as their Lord and Savior. And their prayers, when they pray, they ascend up to God like the incense in the Old Testament ascended up to the throne room of God. So tonight as we come to pray, and we ought to come with that sense in our minds that yes, Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. And we pray to him on that basis that, yes, the blood of Christ covers us, but our prayers are like bowls of incense being lifted up to God. That our prayers are billowing up to the throne room of heaven, where God rules and where God reigns, and where God answers according to his grace and his greater glory. So tonight as we come, I want us to pray, and I want us to pray for our congregation, pray for John Woodside, pray for our young people. Can we remember our young people? It'd be great to see young people at our prayer meetings. It'd be great to see young people at our evening services. There are some, but it would be great to see more, really serious in their faith and really full of intent to serve God. It would be great to see more young people. And we ought to pray even for our young people offering as missionaries or offering in different ways that their lives would be lived for God. So let's tonight come and let's pray. And the first part, I'm going to suggest for our first time, just for 10 or 15 minutes, we just spend some time worshiping and confessing our sin. It's interesting that here, Psalm 141, the psalmist, having talked about verse 2, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. The very next thing he says is, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let me just not blab out prayers. Let me just not say the first thing comes into my head. Put a watch over my mouth, Lord. Help me just to pray the things that are significant, the things that matter, the things that count. We can all just rhyme off prayers, but they're to be thoughtful prayers. And the psalmist here is saying in verse 4, let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. Even in the prayer meeting, your heart can be thinking on what is evil or sinful. And let me not eat of their delicacies. Lord, help me to avoid those who lead me away from you. And help me to draw near to you. So I think tonight it would be good if we just spent some time, instead of just launching into intercession and just praying and asking God for things, let's, even as God enjoys our prayers, let's us enjoy God. And let us confess our sins and remind ourselves that unconfessed sin is a blockage to blessing. And let us remind ourselves, above all else, that God is gracious. He really shouldn't hear any of our prayers, but he does. And he loves to hear us pray. He wants us to come and to pray. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. So we'll go tonight for about 10, 15 minutes, and then we'll maybe change the tone, and then we'll pray to 9 o'clock. And we'll have a more general time of prayer. So let's spend some time worshipping the Lord, confessing our sins, and then, as I say, we'll move on to pray specifically for our week of teaching. Did Richard start us off?